Welcome to the Spoonie Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Fraser. This show is for anyone living with a chronic health condition. From personal experience, I know how difficult it is to navigate life with debilitating symptoms like pain and fatigue. I want you to know that you're not alone, and it is possible to build a life you love alongside your diagnosis. I can't wait to show you how. So a lot of you know that my Spoonie journey began when I was in a car accident and sustained a brain injury, and that's what really led me to going off of work and being on disability leave and ultimately starting this new career path as a Spoonie mentor. But you might be surprised to know that I actually also have a kidney disease, polycystic kidney disease, that I was diagnosed with as a teenager because I was experiencing a lot of pain, and ultimately it got discovered by accident during an ultrasound. And this is something that runs in my family. My mother had it, my uncle, my cousin, my grandfather, a lot of people. It's a genetic disorder. And PKD essentially means that fluid-filled sacs called cysts form inside of the kidneys, and ultimately there becomes so many of them that for most people with PKD, it causes renal or kidney failure. And when that happens, or before that happens, most people get put on dialysis, which is a way that circulates the blood and clears out any toxins or waste, and essentially replaces the function of kidneys. My mother actually didn't have any kidneys at all for a few years and went to the hospital for dialysis 3 times a week. Ultimately, she was able to get a machine set up at her house so she could do it overnight, which was really helpful. But there were a lot of surgeries she had to go through, and it was a lot for me to witness growing up. And so also then hopefully people aren't on dialysis for too long and then they are able to get a kidney transplant. And kidney transplants are kind of tricky because everyone's transplant lasts for a different amount of time and it's hard to find a perfect match. So you might not know that so many people need kidney transplants in the world, and we as humans can survive with only one kidney. So it's a very interesting process, and kidney disease is often thought of as like the silent killer because typically, there can be very few symptoms. People might not even realize they have a kidney disease. So for me, I discovered it when I was young, and it's always something that's been kind of out of sight, out of mind. Even my family doctor was like, you kind of tend to not really think about this or worry about this. And it's true. I've never fully really, maybe it's been avoidance of just realizing, you know, I don't know what my future holds in terms of whether I will need dialysis or a kidney transplant. My nephrologist, my kidney doctor, luckily in my most recent visit this year said that all my numbers are looking amazing. They're improving. I definitely attribute it to all of the Thriving Spoonie Pathway strategies that I implement in my life. And however, I don't want to pass this disease on to any future generations. Every single child of mine that I might have has a 50% chance of having this same disorder, disease. And so today's episode is really meaningful to me because, as you know, I've been at the fertility clinic with my husband, and it got presented the option to do a certain type of testing, which would ensure that this disease ends with me. You're going to get to hear from Richard Kellner, who is the founder of the PKD Outreach Foundation, and the synchronous way in which we got connected. And it's just a powerful story. And I hope that, you know, whether you even have kidney disease, whether it impacts you or not, you recognize that there's always ways for these meaningful, magical, aligned connections to happen that can really help you on your healing journey. So enjoy this episode. Well, I'm really excited to introduce our guest, Richard Kellner, who is the founder of PKD Outreach Foundation, pkdo.org. And today's conversation is going to be really interesting because I've never fully opened up about this other side of a journey that I've been going through on the back end about navigating fertility and also about this new genetic testing I'm doing. So first, let me introduce Richard to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure, Emily. Thank you for having us on.
Yeah. So for the listeners, just to give you a bit of background story, as you know, we've been at the fertility clinic with my husband due to infertility, and we were once again presented with the opportunity to do genetic testing on the future embryos we will create, which is a way to make sure that, you know, diseases don't get passed on to future generations. And that's something that we were debating whether we should do it or not. And ultimately, I asked the universe for a sign, and that same day I came across a post that said PKD free babies, which is polycystic kidney disease. And ultimately that exact same day I got in contact with Richard over email and got approved for this incredible, generous gift, which is going to be covering the cost of this really expensive testing called PGTM, pre-genetic implantation testing. And it was just a really synchronous series of events. And now I'm in contact with Richard and just really grateful for him to be able to share a story about why he created this organization, but also for the listeners, you know, we know how important education is and awareness. So if anyone in your life does have polycystic kidney disease, just to be able to share them that this incredible opportunity is here. So Richard, I'd love to hear your story about how PKD has impacted you and your family and what ultimately inspired you to create this incredible organization.
Yeah, thank you, Emily. Appreciate the opportunity. So, I've been aware of and dealing with PKD for over 35 years. I don't have it, but my wife Joanne did. We met when I was 20 years old, the first time I actually went to her home. Her mother was on dialysis, right? So that's where we know the disease started, was with her mother. We don't know if it existed in prior generations. Her mother had already had an kidney transplant that didn't go well, and she had been on dialysis for many years. So I learned about it. I knew right away, because my wife had already been tested for it. Her sister had been tested for it. They both had it. And the interesting thing with PKD is it's a dominant genetic condition. So it passes down to 50% of the offspring. If one parent has it, again, statistically, 50% of the children will have it. And in most cases, it leads to kidney failure. Some families will have a more aggressive versus less, but pretty often, late 40s, early 50s, if you're lucky, your 60s, it will cause kidney failure and, dialysis or a kidney transplant. Both my wife and my sister-in-law, sure enough, on schedule, before 50, had kidney failure. I donated a kidney to my wife about 10 years ago. It's funny. So when it came clear that she needed the kidney, and I said I was going to donate, she's like, you didn't sign up for this. And I'm like, of course I did. I had always known it was coming, but also kind of operated under the myth that, I'm going to give her a kidney. This is just a speed bump. And, once I give her the kidney, life will be perfect again. And a kidney transplant is a life-saving miracle, but it's not a perfect solution. It comes with challenges and setbacks. And, the reality is this disease does impact, longevity. My mother-in-law passed away before she was 70, and unfortunately Joanne passed away about 3 years ago at the age of 56. It wasn't polycystic kidney disease per se, but it was a comorbidity, another medical issue that she probably could have survived, but with the polycystic kidney disease and the side effects from that and the anti-rejection meds, it was too much. Once she passed, it started making me challenge what I had been told for the past 30 plus years about polycystic kidney disease, which is there's nothing you can do about it. until the kidneys fail. You get a kidney transplant, and that's it. So we started digging a little bit deeper, and then, because again, both of my kids have it. I have a nephew that has it, also, and just started looking like, is there a better outcome for my kids? And sure enough, there's new science that's just not well promoted, and things that will slow the progression of the disease. So my kids, instead of having kidney failure at 50, potentially in their 60s or even 70, right? So there are things that they're doing from a lifestyle, and diet and therapeutics perspective that will hopefully slow the progression of the disease, keep their native kidneys longer. Again, they could get into their late 60s with their native kidneys, versus 50. That's a huge difference. And then the most important thing that we learned, is that with pre-implantation genetic testing, right, if you're willing to go IVF, there's a way to prevent this disease, from being passed down. So my grandchildren, right, will not have this disease. When I first told my kids about this, their reaction was in vitro and pre-implantation genetic testing. No, I don't want to do that. And then, 3 weeks later, they're like, yeah, how could we not? Right? How could we not do this? And they're not at the point where they're ready to have children now, but again, they know the option is there. They're going to take advantage of it. And with our family, my kids will be the last ones that have to deal with it, because once the grandchildren don't have it, they won't pass it on. So after probably six people in the family needing kidney transplants, we will put an end to it.
Which is so powerful. I just want to first share my condolences. I'm really sorry for the loss of your
Thank
wife,
you.
and you so nonchalantly just shared that you donated your kidney, but that is really such an amazing gift that you were able to share with your wife. And it's not something that, I mean, maybe not everyone knows that every human has two kidneys and you only need one to survive. So live kidney organ donors are very much possible, and they are saving so many lives. The people who just out of the generosity of their heart donate. And it's not such a minor thing. It's a surgery and it's a major thing that you're doing. And it just shows the love you have for your family and for your wife that
Yeah,
you did that.
although I will tell you, right, it probably one of the life-changing thing for me. You start realizing the gift of giving, and it's really one of the things that motivated me to create PKDo, right? Because all right, great. So I have this knowledge, I have the resources, and I could end this in my family, and quite frankly, that might have been it. But I think Joanne had reached out to me, said we need to do more. And this 100 PKD Free Babies initiative is a way to get momentum, traction, create some awareness, but this is really just the beginning of a 50-year mission, right, to eradicate this disease, right? Ultimately, we're morphing this into no more PKD free babies, right? And we need to make sure that the awareness is there. We were talking earlier before this started, how once you found out about your PKD, that you've been getting seen by a nephrologist every year. And fortunately, your nephrologist knew about the PGTM. But all too often, because you're not having health issues early, until your 40s, a lot of 20 and 30 year olds are not seeing their nephrologist. They're actually being told, Don't get tested. It's not, don't get tested for it. You don't need to know. Pay attention in your 40s. But don't do anything now. So they don't find out that this is an option. Most OBGYNs are not advising their patients, that are in family. They know that there's a family history, for some reason they're not. So we're looking to ch both change the awareness, and then awareness is one thing, but it's an expensive procedure, many cases not covered by insurance. We're looking to help raise the funding to support that. Right now we're doing it in a small way, but hopefully with time in a much larger way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what you shared is that ultimately this experience that your family has gone through has led you to realize that, it's so important to give back, and now this has become part of your mission to be able to help prevent the transfer of this disease. And as hard it is as it is to navigate these challenges, that's something that ultimately me and a big part of the Spoonie community realizes is that sometimes I truly believe that this adversity finds us, because at the other side of it is something really beautiful. And this 100 PKD free baby mission is really powerful. And it's also, and I know you do other work with education about the different lifestyle changes and help support people in finding the live donors, but it's true, and it's something that's so frustrating for me as a teacher and with that education background, knowing how much can be prevented and how much life can change when patients are more educated about their diagnosis. And that's a big part of why I do what I do, because I was in the same boat. I remember, in my early 20s, sitting down with a nephrologist, and I asked him, are there any lifestyle changes I can be doing to help slow the progression of this disease? Because with PKD, what happens is fluid-filled cysts start to grow in the kidneys, ultimately causing renal failure or kidney failure, which then requires a transplant if you're so lucky. It's incredible that you were a match for your wife. My mother, being Korean, it took her 6 years of dialysis waiting for a transplant that would eventually save her life and get her off dialysis. And for people who don't know what dialysis is, it's when you go and you get hooked up with a machine, and essentially blood is circ it circulates all of your blood and clears it from all the toxins and excess fluid. But it's a long procedure, and my mother was going to the hospital 3 times a week, and this really affected my whole from grade 4 to high school. I was watching my mother do this, and
Yeah,
it affected her ability to work, and it was challenging.
and you know what? And you never have your full strength and energy. It's an existence on dialysis, but it's not your full life, right? And again, thank God, it's that bridge that exists from kidney failure to a kidney transplant.
Yeah.
But that is also certainly not a permanent solution for most.
Absolutely. And my mother, I was speaking with her this past weekend, and she would say of the number of people who would pass away, most of the
While
time
they're
they'd be sitting
waiting.
all in the clinic and talking or reading, and then some people just wouldn't show up again because it isn't a cure-all. And like you mentioned with your wife, once you do get the kidney transplant, you're on so many immunosuppressants because the doctors are trying to prevent your body from rejecting this foreign organ that's placed inside of you. And so my mother has had many complications. I mean, her kidney transplant has lasted a long time, which is incredible. But, getting COVID and all these other things, it affects her so much greater because of the low immune system.
That's it. And the nice thing is, look, there's, PKD is one of the larger causes of kidney failure for at younger ages, right? There are others that at larger, right? Dialysis and other sources of kidney disease. And as you said, the wait list for a deceased donor is 6 or 7 years. So the fewer PKD related, if we start taking people off the list because we're preventing the disease from being passed down long term, that's going to help everybody with kidney disease, because it's going to shrink the list for people waiting for a disease. Now, again, that's 40 years out, but we need to start somewhere.
Absolutely. And that's where it goes back to how important it is to, unfortunately for the patient, to advocate for themselves. Because for me, when that nephrologist said that to me, something didn't sit right in my gut. And I had an incredible professor who once said, like, when you feel that, like, those are your values speaking to you. And so for me, I said, I knew that there's something more. And so I was like, I want to find a new nephrologist. I want to go seeking for the resources. And they're out there. There's an incredible PKD family, even on Instagram, that can connect with each other. That's how I found out about this incredible grant opportunity. And that's something that's really important because, you know, PKD, it's a very serious genetic disease disorder. And yet so many people don't even know that they're diagnosed, even if there's a family history, because it's one of those invisible silent killers, which so many Spoonies experience. We might look fine on the outside, but it's the invisible nature of these conditions that really do impact people.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's Emily. I wanted to let you know about a free resource I created called Flare Up Freedom. Most Spoonies are stuck in what I like to call the boom-bust cycle. So maybe you have a somewhat good day, and then you're like, I gotta get everything down on my to-do list, and you inevitably push yourself too hard and end up crashing and being forced to rest. I know how frustrating this is. Trust me, I was stuck in the boom-bust cycle for years. But I'm proud to say that it's been over a year since I had a major flare-up. I went from being stuck in bed on disability leave to thriving on two-hour hikes and bike rides, traveling the world, and building a life of joy alongside my health conditions. And the great news is I am sharing some of my evidence-based strategies in this training. So if you want to learn how to prevent unpredictable symptom flare-ups, radically increase your energy, and find freedom from chronic pain and fatigue, scroll down to the show notes and click the link to register. I can't wait to hear your feedback. Now let's get back to the episode.
So Emily, can you share a little bit more with me about where you are in your journey for a PKD-free baby?
Yeah, So I was diagnosed with PKD when I was a teenager, knowing my mother had already been on dialysis. We knew it was a possibility. I'm luckily the only one of my, there's three daughters in my family, so I'm the only one that has PKD, but I've luckily been stable. After I sustained a brain injury, numbers did get worse, but luckily things have been improving due to the lifestyle and diet factors that I've been implementing. My nephrologist has been incredible, and she's been telling me that she doesn't even think I'll need a kidney transplant potentially. So that is the power of having this education and these lifestyle modifications. But, you know, I think when I was originally, I told my nephrologist we were considering starting a family, and she referred me to a genetic counselor who went through the possibility of PGTM. That was a few years ago. And I remember feeling really scared about that. I thought, why would I put myself through IVF? Similar to what you shared your children thought, especially because I had already been navigating so many complications after a car accident that I thought, I don't want to put my body through yet again something else that's going to be harder. You know, you hear these horror stories about the hormonal injections and everything, but ultimately, once we found out that we weren't able to conceive naturally, and the fact that, you know, my husband, because of his health, will need to do ICSI and IVF, and then we were learning more about PGTM, and I just thought, what are the chances that I'm with a partner who needs the exact two procedures that are required for someone with my kidney disease who's going to do this genetic testing? And we just couldn't deny that, on top of finding out about your organization. We couldn't deny that this was a gift that we could give our future children, that, you know, it's really powerful. I think the most powerful thing to me, I've been riding these emotional waves, as you know, since we found out about getting this funding. But ultimately, for me, the most powerful thing, even though I know that I'm going to be going through different procedures and have to do these hormone tests in the coming weeks and months, for me, what's keeping me strong through it is knowing that, like, I'm ending this disease for my family. And that's really powerful.
You're doing something for your children, your grandchildren.
Exactly. I never met my grandfather on my mother's side because he died from this disease in his 40s in South Korea before people even knew about this disease or how to test it, at least in that part of the world. And so, you know, my uncle recently passed, and I know my mother, I don't know, it's kind of just, on one hand, I'm a disability advocate, and so I very much believe that, you know, there's nothing wrong with being disabled. There's nothing wrong with diseases. And yet on the other hand, if I can prevent this really challenging series of events for my future children, I thought, how can I not do that? Especially because it's not like we're trying to change the embryos. We're just choosing to implant the ones that have a higher success of not miscarrying. So yeah, that's been a big part of the journey for me.
And right, maybe we just take a second to clarify that, right? So, you know, with this, right? So, you know, it's if it's part of the natural IVF process, right? So, you know, religiously, if your religion or your faith believes in and supports IVF, right? Pro-life, pro-choice doesn't factor into this. If you're okay with IVF, they're not modifying anything, right? So it's they harvest the eggs, they fertilize the eggs. You then have embryos. And you never implant all of the embryos, right? But then now they go through, they do a genetic matching to identify the PKD gene. And they identify the embryos that do not have the PKD gene. And those are the ones that they implant, and just continue to freeze the ones that don't. And by the way, you know, at a later date, if you want to use one of those embryos, that optionality is always there. But it gives the family a little bit more choice. But we're not screening for anything else. So it's something that just makes a lot of sense, knowing what the impact that this disease has on families.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the same thing the doctors explained to us, like with the IVF, the normal IVF process, you're given almost each blastocyst is ranked. It's like, this one's a triple A grade and this one in terms of the health. And so what we're just doing is we will transfer the embryo that has the highest likelihood of implanting and creating a successful pregnancy. And so that's the stage we're at, is we've just finished up our calls and consults with the clinic that's going to be doing the PGTM clinic, the testing. Essentially every single family will have their own unique probe created based on the genetic, so they can look for the genetic discrepancy. And so now they've asked for my parents to give a saliva sample, and then they're going to take 8 weeks to create the actual probe. And from that point, we'll be able to start the egg retrieval process. So we're very much in the early stages. But there's another person I've been connected with through your organization, and we've been chatting, and she's been really great about sharing how the process went for her. So what's also another benefit to you bringing together these families who are opting for this PGTM treatment is that we're going to be able to support each other through it, regardless of the reason why people are initially doing IVF, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we also give a shout out to that for others that are interested. Somebody that there's an Instagram account for PKD Ends With Me, another brave woman that we've been supporting, and she's been sharing her whole journey with this on Instagram. And, you know, she's currently pregnant with a PKD free child, and is due in November, although I suspect she might go a little bit early. You know, so for any of you who are interested, and I do think that is building that part of the community is a really, really important thing. And I appreciate your bravery in sharing it, because this is a personal and scary thing. And, you know, to the extent that you're, you know, there were mentors for families that have gone through it already, so that you're not feeling alone and isolated to it. It's part of the human side that we're learning about and trying to share.
Absolutely. Because I even was speaking with my mother, like when she got her kidney transplant, there was no anything. She was just kind of like, okay, you're good now and you're free. But you know, there's so much even emotionally that happens after a big life experience like that, and that's why I'm so big on running mentorship programs for people who have chronic illness, chronic diseases, because you know, having that human connection and the support is integral to people, and the research supports that. Like, you can't do any of this journey alone. So whether it's family support or professional support or even just peer support, it's really important to any type of healing journey.
And just curious, wanted to get your opinion on something. I know in speaking with a number of the fertility experts in the clinics and stuff like that, you hear about the challenges with in vitro, but mostly families that are having fertility issues, right? So when you're having fertility issues, the in vitro is it helps, right? But also there's challenges with egg retrieval and stuff like that, and the age of the woman definitely factors into that. And some of the fertility clinics have been encouraging us, hey, if you've got an audience of families or just even women in their 20s that know they have PKD, know that they want this, not ready for childbirth, but they're actually encouraging us, hey, between the ages of 25 and 30, not a bad idea to go through the egg harvesting and freeze the eggs, get that stage of the process out of the way, because that is the biggest hurdle with the IVF process. And if you do that younger and freeze the eggs, then when you're ready for childbirth, it basically stops the clock from ticking against you. Do you have a any thoughts on the wisdom of that? Because again,
Yeah,
there's a
I
human
mean,
side to it also.
I think that a lot of women know that that's a possibility now and that they are starting to do that. It's definitely been something that's been coming up in my community because a lot of spoonies are navigating challenges, and so they know they're not ready for becoming a mother yet, but they also know they're getting older, and so it's starting to become a conversation. And I know a lot of people don't start thinking about this until later, and then it's really unfortunate, the messaging about, when you're 35, your pregnancy is considered geriatric. Like it's a really challenging thing as a woman to know this thing and this and have this fertility clock ticking. I think a lot of the times comes down to finances. Like it's a I know some of my friends have done this, and it is expensive and it's a big journey, and so it is. I mean, it's such a personal thing. I think for me, I mean, luckily my fertility is looking good, and so it's not a stressor of mine, and I'm trying to keep a really positive mindset about it being a smooth process. But I know that even for anyone listening, like PGTM is possible for a lot of different type of health conditions. And so even just the awareness, regardless of your age and regardless whether you have a partner or whether you're thinking of becoming a parent, like to know that this kind of testing exists so that you can prevent passing on any genetic diseases is really powerful. And just to look into it, because it's something that I didn't really consider. I didn't really learn about it until I was already in my 30s. And perhaps I would have thought differently. Like I was already with my husband by my mid-20s, and it's really easy. And even my family doctor expressed this to me, like it's really easy when you have PKD, you know that it's like a future thing. And I'm like, oh yeah, but that's something to worry about later. And she's like, you keep putting this thing into the distance, but it's still a real thing that you have. And so just people explaining like this is a possibility. I think that's what's really powerful, and that's what I hope people take away from listening to this, is that whether you have PKD or another genetic condition, that there's so many options. And even if one doctor might be telling you one thing, like know that there's other possibilities and you can continue to advocate for yourself.
Yeah, look, there's no sense in worrying about something that you can't control, right? But there's tremendous power in taking control of what you can, right? So you have PKD, there's only so much you can do, and you can't sit there and worry about it. Go out, live your life. But 30 years ago, there wasn't much you could do about it. Today there are some things, right? So there is power in knowledge and awareness and action in your 20s and 30s to create greater outcomes, better outcomes for yourself, and certainly for your family and your future generations. You could truly put an end to it. And And we're happy to be the ones that are getting the word out. And again, truly appreciate your helping us do so.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on, and thank you again for this generous gift. It's really powerful. And also just even the fact that your organization existed was really what moved the needle in helping me and my husband decide that this is something we were ultimately going to do, knowing we'd have that financial support, because it is expensive and that is inaccessible to so many people. So yeah. For people who are curious of learning more, perhaps want to donate to this initiative, or they know someone PKD they want to refer, where can they go to learn more?
Yeah, so it's www.pkdo.org.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, Richard.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Emily.
Thanks again for tuning in. I hope that this episode helped you restore some of your spoons. If we're not already connected on Instagram, make sure to go follow me at The Spoonie Mentor and send me a DM to introduce yourself and share some of your takeaways from the episode. You can also visit emilyfraser.ca to join one of my programs or courses and learn different ways we can work together. Sending so many spoons, and I'll see you next Wednesday.